Your names?
Aaron Hughes.
Jason Hurd.
And you guys are with Iraq Veterans Against the War. Talk about this Operation Recovery, Stop the Deployment of Traumatized Troops, Aaron Hughes.
So currently about 20% of the fighting force that's getting deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan have already been diagnosed by the Department of Defense with PTSD, TBI, and MST. And by their own regs, those people should not be redeployed, but they're deploying them anyways because they say they need the troops. And we say, well, it doesn't matter what you say you need, soldiers still have rights. And you know, our mission as an organization is to stop deployment of all troops. But we find this practice is particularly egregious and disgusting. So basically we're beginning on focusing on this segment of the population and trying to create a larger space for resistance. A lot of soldiers go AWOL because they're seeking help for these issues, PTSD, military sexual trauma, traumatic brain injury. They can't get the help that they need. And so they go AWOL looking for that help from their families, from their friends. And they're criminalized. And we're saying, no, they're not criminals. They have a right. They have a right to heal. And it's predominantly based on what the military has acknowledged and said is real. You know, that soldiers shouldn't be redeployed with trauma. But they're doing it anyways. So we want to expose this issue in its full light and hold those accountable for this practice that are doing it.
Jason Hurd, what are the numbers? How many soldiers are being deployed who are not fit for deployment?
Well, right now, 20% of our fighting force are being deployed on at least one psychotropic medication. And these are common medications that are used for things like PTSD and TBI. I myself am a 100% disabled veteran with PTSD. The same medications that I'm currently on, things like trazodone and things like Prozac, our soldiers are getting sent to Iraq and Afghanistan on these very same drugs, and I'm disabled. And so what does that say about this? You know, these guys are deploying 4, 5, 6, and 7 times, and each time is just one more traumatic experience for them. And, you know, I find it just, like, horrid that America would do this, you know. And so we're trying to tell people about it. We're trying to get them involved in this campaign. It's our first strategic campaign. We've been around since 2004, and we've recently taken on an organizing model in the last year, very much so. You know, United Workers had a hand in shaping that. We really got a lot from their philosophy. And so, you know, today we're here at the One Nation March getting signatures of support for this campaign. You know, we asked people to, like, go on the website and check us out at IVAW.org. You can click on the link to Operation Recovery and you can find out more about it. You can sign the petition. You can find out more ways to get involved and, like, help us with this. And like Aaron said, our mission is to end the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and bring all the troops home. But, you know, that's particularly hard to do when we're not being truthful, you know. And we have to bring these guys who are so messed up, these guys and gals who have experienced military sexual trauma in many instances. The figures are just staggering. Something like 60% of the National Guard and Reserve women have experienced some form of sexual trauma, military sexual trauma. And, you know, we're trying to continue research on this. Over the next few months, we're going to be conducting a lot more research as to who are the real decision makers, who are the ones who are saying, yeah, it's a good idea to deploy these traumatized troops. We're going to be figuring that out, and we're going to be putting pressure on those people to change their policies, or, you know, we will continue to organize against that. We will organize in our community, the GIs and veterans.
You're an Iraq veteran.
I am.
What's it like to come home for and try and recover from war and to only be given, what, a few months to then be thrown back into the hell of war?
Well, luckily, I only did one tour in Iraq. I was in from 97 to 2007, and I did my deployment to Baghdad in 04 and 05. But I can tell you, like, the state that individuals in my unit were in when we returned was no shape to redeploy people in, and some of them have returned now for their second deployment. My unit just got back, I think, from its second deployment to Iraq. We had, you know, high divorce rates, people being diagnosed with PTSD, people who were, you know, all the stuff I've been talking about on these drugs, and they're redeployed. That to me is like, that's an affront to everything that it means to be a service member in this nation. You know, like, that's not upholding the agreement that our government made with soldiers when, you know, they said, we'll take care of you if you agree to lay down your life for this country.
Aaron Hughes, where did you serve?
I served out of the Illinois Army National Guard, and I served in Iraq in 2003 and 2004, and also in Kuwait as a truck driver. And this last week, my unit was redeployed to Iraq. So, you know, here as we collect signatures, you know, people have brought up, well, you know, aren't we withdrawing out of this, out of Iraq? And, you know, I have to acknowledge and let them know that, well, we're not. You know, my unit's deploying. Yes, like, the forces have changed, the numbers have changed, but there's still soldiers that are being deployed. And, you know, like Jason said, like, our objective is to end these wars, and this is how we do it. We do it by winning our right to heal. The military depends on violating our right to heal, to continue these wars. It depends on abusing and dehumanizing soldiers to continue these wars. It depends on the ability to medicate soldiers and put them in a state where they can keep fighting even when they're not fit to fight, to keep fighting these wars. And we're saying, enough is enough, we have rights, and we're gonna fight back. And we're gonna organize the GIs and veterans to fight for those rights.
How did you get involved with IVAW, Iraq Veterans Against the War?
I joined back in 2006. I had gotten back from the war in 2004, and I decided to go back to school in 2005, and I was pretty isolated. I didn't know any other Iraq vets except for folks in my unit, and I was in a National Guard unit, so I was by myself, and I met a Vietnam veteran against the war, and he said, hey, you should get involved with these guys. And in January of 2007, this was my first rally that I participated with IVAW here, actually on the mall.
And what's it like, well, if you can, I don't even know if words can describe, to be in war, and then what was returning home? You said you felt kind of isolated when you came back?
Well, yeah, there's just a massive disconnect. I mean, here in the States, we repress the wars, and we repress our vulnerability. And I think about the process of being in war is all about, it's like you come to this awareness that your death is present, you know, and your other people are dying. And you return, and all those things that are non-existent here. And there's rhetoric. There's political rhetoric. There's media rhetoric. There's ideological rhetoric. But there's not much. There's not many spaces that are talking about how complicated it is, how messy that war is, and trying to acknowledge what's going on there, and how that affects people psychologically, and to have an honest conversation. And where do you have an honest conversation in this country about a war that's not completely, you know, automatically turned into a 4-second, you know, rhetorical soundbite for some political community? And I think, you know, for me, I found that in Iraq Veterans Against the War, but I mean, it's like, and I find that in art and creativity, but it's not present in our common day, you know? So how do you find it? And for me, it's finding a community, but I think for everybody, like, when soldiers get home, the journey starts of trying to find a way to relate again, find home again, build home again, and I think that comes by building a community, so.
And a lot of guys, that community is not immediately obvious, and so the numbers of folks who are going to turn to alcohol, or maybe they're given medications, the isolation, I guess, it's got to be intense if you don't have the community that you're speaking of.
Yeah, I mean, we have the highest suicide rate, the highest domestic abuse rate, you know, the highest alcoholism rate, the highest unemployment, homeless rate of almost any demographic here in the States. And, you know, the military sells you when you join, like, we're going to give you a future, this proud future. And the reality is you get home and the military is structured in a specific way where you depend upon the military to carry out your duties, and then you get out. And a lot of it's trying to figure out, like, how do you readjust and exist within the everyday here? And a lot of that doesn't make sense. When you're willing to die for something, and then you realize that that thing that you're willing to die for, like, what was that? You know, like, what are people dying for in Afghanistan right now? you know, can Obama or can the Democratic Party or can Republicans or can the general actually articulate it outside of like some rhetorical nonsense about we're fighting a war on terrorism? Like, seriously? That's what people have said, and that doesn't equate for people that are on the ground that walk through those streets. That doesn't work. So how do you have an honest conversation about those things? I feel like that's what this struggle is about. It's about coming home and finding a way to have an honest conversation.
Jason Hirsch, how did you get involved with IVAW?
I actually deployed anti-war in 2004. I didn't know about Iraq Veterans Against the War, but when I got back in 2005, I deployed with the thinking that, sure, this is a bad war and I don't agree with it, but maybe my unit can do some good. And we got over there and I found that to be not the case at all. And so when I came back, I was very angry about this. And for a couple of years, I just spoke out on my own. I went to college at East Tennessee State University, and I was speaking on panels there just trying to let people know, like, look, we've got to stop these wars. They're harming not just our veterans, but they're harming people in the foreign lands we're occupying. They're harming you in that they're taking your tax dollars and funneling it towards militarism. And so I actually, that same march that Aaron was at, the January 27th of 07 march here on D.C., I actually came here because I found a flyer in a coffee shop. And I came up here and I saw, like, these ragtag veterans get up on the stage and started talking. And I was like, these guys are saying the exact same thing I've been saying. Like, it's the exact same thing. And so I was fortunate enough to meet one of them, a guy named Garrett Reppenhagen, who's actually the chair of our board of directors now. I got to meet him, and he gave me his card and just said, hey, stay in touch. And I did. I for the next year, I probably watched the website and just, like, kind of paid attention to what the organization did. And, you know, I could have joined before, but, like, I chose to join up as soon as I got out. And every day since, you know, I've been trying to help in the struggle. You know, I keep meeting veterans everywhere who are experiencing the same story. Like, wow, I don't really know what to make of my service in Iraq and Afghanistan. And when I get back here, the regular world just doesn't seem to fit me anymore. And, you know, that's why, I mean, I was a medic. And that's why, I care a lot about this campaign that we're doing. Because, you know, military commanders can totally ignore the medical advice of trained medical professionals, doctors, and still deploy a traumatized troop. Commanders should not have the right to override a medical professional, but yet that's the case according to Army and DOD policy today. It's not right. It's not right, and we're not going to stop until we see an end to it. You know, like, we're going to keep fighting. No matter who's in power, no matter what the political moment means, you know, we're going to continue fighting. Because until, you know, Aaron has a saying, like, until the last truck comes home, you know, from Iraq and Afghanistan, those trucks, he was a truck driver. And, you know, like, yeah, we're going to keep fighting until all of our brothers and sisters are home.
What surprised you in doing research for Operation Recovery, Stop the Deployment of Traumatized Troops?
I mean, a lot. I saw information that surprised me all over the place. I mean, this campaign is about people who have PTSD and TBI, but also military sexual trauma. And I found that 1 in 3 women since 1970 that were studied, 1 in 3 women who served in the military reported being raped while being in the military. That's astounding. Right? So it's possible that high numbers in our current military, in our fighting force, have been raped or otherwise experienced military sexual trauma, and they get deployed just like every other Joe. You know, that was surprising. I found it very surprising that 20% of our veterans, of our service members are on drugs like I am, you know, for their PTSD and for their TBIs that they have.
Traumatic brain injury,
yeah. I mean, I don't know how we can, I mean, actually, in USA Today, just recently, I think this last week, It came out in that one in six, right? Like, it came out that one in six are on psychotropic meds and getting deployed four or five and six times to Iraq and Afghanistan. They brought it up on a subcommittee hearing of the Senate Armed Services Committee. And they talked to the Army Surgeon General and the Navy Surgeon General and the Air Force Surgeon General, and they didn't have any answers for why this was. And it's because we're using bad policy, for one, right? We're using bad foreign policy, thinking that we can go and occupy foreign lands and not have people fight back against us. That's just not a good way to view the world, you know what I'm saying? I can't participate in that anymore, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing today.
Aaron Hughes, any final thoughts you want to add? And Thursday you're launching the campaign for Operation Recovery.
Just that we're just beginning. You know, you asked Jason about research, and we're just beginning. We're just scratching the surface. We're going to expose everybody that's responsible for this, and we're going to hold them accountable. And it may take us time, but we're going to do it. So I think that's all I got to say.
Thanks so much. Any final thoughts for you, Jason?
I would just encourage people to go to the website, ivaw.org, and check out the campaign. Like, get involved. You know, go tell other folks about it. If you know a GI or a veteran, go tell them about our organization and what we're doing. You know, have them go to our website. Get in touch with us, because we do our best to provide a community for our members. You know, and if they get involved, they'll find what they crave from the military, but they'll find it here to help them in the work that it takes to heal when you get back home.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for your time, brother.